You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. Welcome again, everyone. I'm Brent Smith and Shane Stetsny, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Champ Off-Road racing going into Crandon, Shane. I mean, we've seen Anago. We're finally relaxing and getting back to our senses because it was a wild first weekend. We're going to expect a lot more going into Crandon.
Yeah, I had forgotten how much being at the racetrack would tire me out. I basically needed all of last week to just kind of unwind a little bit. But like you said, great racing in Anago, terrific racing. And let's break some of that down. So I think in the moment, right after the race finished on Sunday at Anago, right after Pro Light, I said, that's one we're going to talk about over and over again, because that's one of the best races I've ever seen. So we wondered coming into this year, who was going to step up and be a challenger to Kyle Greaves after he was pretty dominant last year? Well, I think a few guys made some statements. You had Brody Eggleston, who won in round two after Greaves was the winner in round one. Matt Wood had his best finish ever. He was right on Eggleston's bumper with a lap to go in that one. Gibbs was in that mix as well, had a great weekend. With two laps left, those four were all in one pack, nose to tail. That race was insane.
That's just an understatement. That sucker was just unreal. I mean, they're just battling back and forth. And you said about Kyle Greaves, you know, yeah, he looked like he was the favorite. You put Trey Gibbs in there and look at Brody Eggleston. I watched him come through the ranks and start in those younger classes. And we always call them stepping stones. I mean, that boy's here to party. He's here to race. He wants to win, and he's shown he's going to be a contender.
Yeah, that was for sure a big statement by Eggleston. And then you look at some of the guys who weren't running up front that we expect to. Guys like Travis Milhausen Jr., who started to come on a little bit stronger towards the end of last year. Maddox Bailey also didn't have a great weekend, but we know for sure he's going to run up near the front. Rosales, Johnny Holcher had a terrible weekend in Anago in Pro Light and in Pro 2, and we can talk about that more later. There's a ton of talent, and like we said, we thought it was going to be the Kyle Greaves show, especially after the year that he had last year in 2022. But lo and behold, there's like 7-8 trucks that could win in this class. I think it's going to be a super tight points battle all year.
Yeah, for sure. A dogfight. I mean, I really couldn't pick who's going to win the next one. Yeah, our favorites and what we've seen on past results lead to Greaves. But I mean, yeah, you said Johnny Holger's had a bad weekend. He'll bounce back. That kid's racing everywhere around the country. So he showed a lot of speed at the last event he was at. Did a phenomenal job. I mean, you talk about Matt Wood, very, very quick. I mean, talk about an independent driver running with some of these drivers that have been around this sport forever and putting themselves in position to win is one thing. But Matt Wood seems like when we're calling these races, he's right there. It's unbelievable how fast he is at any track we go to.
Yeah, and I've actually got my eye on Matt Wood and Trey Gibbs both coming into Crandon here in a couple days, because those are two Cole Mamer trucks, and we know that those trucks are flat-out fast at Crandon. But again, you look at the results from the last couple of years, Kyle Greaves, Crandon's basically his home track, and he has done a nice job of, you know, holding that home court advantage. So again, those four guys, plus the other guys I mentioned that didn't do very well in Anago, I think it's going to be, like you said, an absolute dogfight.
Yeah, we could talk about big names and guys trying to move up classes, but talking about classes, the Pro 2 division, the strength of that field right now, man, we have some other guys coming back into Champ Off-Road this coming weekend. I can't imagine what this is going to lay out.
Yeah, so Pro 2, that was another one that coming into this year, we knew it was going to be a dogfight, to steal the word from you that you used to describe Pro Light, and it paid off in Anago. Ryan Beat back to full strength and winning. We didn't even know he was hurt. That was a story that our own Haley Shanley was able to break to everybody. I had no idea that he was going through that back injury and then the vision problems last year, but look where he is. Picked right back up, grabbed that win in round one. You had the silent assassin, Mickey Thomas, grabbed another win at Anago, just like he did last year. And then we also saw that the gloves did come off early in Pro 2. The last couple of years, Pro 2 has almost been like the super stock truck of the pros. What do you see happening at Crandon, especially knowing that there's a couple extra guys coming to play, namely Doug Mattag and then Cole Mamer's Pro 2 is going to be on the track as well. We'll find out from Cole on the next episode exactly what's going on there, but a fuller field at Crandon in Pro 2. How does that play out?
I mean, it's going to play out the way it plays out, but as fans and as announcers throughout these years, you know, anytime you bring those names in a group and put them on a short track at Crandon, which we'll get to talk about later on, I mean, it's going to be a little bull ring once again. We came out of Anago expecting to go to a big, wide open, high horsepower, fast Crandon, but now we threw some obstacles in the mix, and all these great drivers are going to have to put their heads down and drive really cautiously, because making the track smaller doesn't always mean it's going to be easier to drive. It's going to be more compact, and that means, hey, like I always like to say, body panels will be maybe replaceable, and I don't think they're going to be even an option.
Yeah, fiberglass fireworks in store for us for sure. Pro 2, the last 2 years, has come down to three drivers with a legitimate shot at the points championship entering the final round. I think it's going to be the exact same this year, honestly. I see Pro Light being the same way, where it's going to be a handful of drivers going for that championship. But man, Pro 2 is, I mean, it's the premier, most competitive, most stacked field in short course off-road racing. It's unreal that we get to watch it.
Yeah, and I love how you said it was the super stock truck of the pros, because that's what it is. Those guys all want to win, and they don't care if they make contact. It's great for the fans, but as a driver, you don't want somebody to take you out because you want to win. I mean, poor Keegan Kincaid, I don't know how many times we've said this, he's just been at the right place at the wrong time, and it's just not working out for him. But I feel he'll bounce back. It's back at his hometown track and another brand new truck, and they'll keep digging. All these guys in Pro 2, it can be anybody's game at Crandon. I'm excited to get things rolling.
Yeah, you mentioned Keegan Kincaid coming to his home track, literally the racetrack that he grew up at, and he's that much more motivated. He was already motivated coming into this year. They put in those hours in the off season, but come on, dude. That's one guy you can't motivate any extra when racing at Crandon is next up on the schedule.
No, you can't at all. And for Keegan, I've known him my whole life, and I pull for that kid. It's not trying to play favorites if somebody's listening to us right now and going to say, oh, well, they're talking about Keegan Kincaid. No, he's put in the blood, sweat, and the tears, just like the Greaves, the Dukes. I mean, just names can go on forever. I mean, Ryan Beat, you got to give the guys credit on the effort they're putting into this sport. It's not an easy sport to stay in or even get in. So for them to be around this long, Shane, I think it's awesome. I mean, I wake up every day living and breathing this sport and can't wait to talk about it. I just hope those guys keep coming back. And what Keegan's doing is just what I expected, never giving up and going to the moon for anything.
Really, you could say that about a bunch of drivers in the class. There's still the hungry guys who haven't been there in the championship hunt down to the end yet. I'm thinking about guys like Mickey Thomas, or how about Corey Winter, that's fallen just short of a championship a couple of times. Obviously, right, Ricky G, who Nolan picked to be the champion in Pro 2 this year. That's another guy that's super hungry. And like you said, these guys they're all super driven. They have egos. They have personalities. Some of them are friends off the track. Some of them very much not friends off the track. So if you want high drama, and, you know, we talked about it leading up to Anago too, the Rush series, the season 2 of it, focusing on Pro 2 from last year. If you want a kind of a prologue to what this season has in store, find Impulse Media on YouTube and watch Rush season 2. It's all about the Pro 2 field last year. It kind of sets up where that drama came from in Anago this year.
Oh, I'm addicted to that show now. I mean, you got me going on it a couple months ago, or a couple weeks ago, actually, and you said something, and now it's like the minute you start it, I mean, you got to give those boys credit. I love watching. You can't put it down. I can't stop watching, because I love watching behind the scenes and seeing the real drivers come out. And I love Ricky G too. Some days everybody has problems, and we don't want to see somebody take each other out. But hey, he said gloves are off, and I believe the Pro 2 field the rest of the year. I can't wait. I mean, we haven't even went to ERX Motor Park or Bark River yet.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be wild. But you brought up the track changes at Crandon. Let's change gears a little bit. We'll talk about that. So the rumors on social media, they're true. Some people I know by now have seen posts from a couple different drivers that were there to test or just there to check out the track change. I don't want to call it a new track, because it's going to be more or less the same Crandon, except now, not counting the start of the race, they will not use that back section. So they'll go through Argonne Corner. So you go through the chicane after the finish line, make that hard left-hander, and then there's another hard left-hander. You go up the hill right next to the spotter's tower and then jump back up onto the top of turn one. And that's a track change that they had originally made around 2004, 2005. And I like it. It's going to keep the trucks, the action more in front of the fans. Like you said, does throw a wrinkle into the driver strategy a little bit. But I'm interested to see how it is. Some of the, you know, a small few of the drivers that are still in Champ Off Road from back then will remember it. But for everybody else, it's new. It's something different. I like it.
Yeah, and that's what we like to see. We like to see changes. And as announcers, drivers, fans, we like to mix it up every once in a while. You see the same track year after year. And if you ask me, yeah, I love it no matter what. It's off-roads, but you want something challenging. You want something to mix things up. And it reminds me back when the Baldwins were racing back in the day when Kurt LeDuc and Adrian first started. I mean, they were coming up that hill. It makes it different. And yeah, to us, we've seen it before, but it's going to keep the racing action in front of us once again, and plus get us a little bit more speed than right in front of the crowd. So, I mean, they'll pick it up by the barn turn. I seen some testing videos, and it's like the old days, and I'm excited. Changing things up is one thing, but you still have that land rush start.
Yeah, the barn jump also a little bit reworked as well. It's going to be, from what I've heard and pieced together, it's different and more like it used to be, a little bit more vertical, a little bit less of a, like a ski jump, distance type jump, but a little bit more airtime now. So that's exciting as well. It's something different right in front of the fans too, which is going to be phenomenal to see, you know, Pro 2s 2-3 wide going over that jump.
So this is kind of a throw around, Shane. Like, what are we talking on the big cup race on Sunday? Are we going to do the full track or are they going to do the short track?
Well, that's going to be classic Crandon all the way back to Cowboy Corner and all the way around the track.
Oh, I was going to say, it has to be. It has to be.
You can mess with the recipe a little bit, but when it's your signature dish, man, you gotta follow it by the book. Like, going back to some of the other classes that excited me in Antigo, Super Stock Truck, what did we expect? Well, we got what we expected. It's still the same old Super Stock Truck, even though the field was a little bit smaller. Joe Machosik still looks like the guy to beat. He took a first in round one, a third in round two. Braden Boshaw, though, finally got the Antigo bad luck off of his back, picked up his second career win in the class, and he comes out near the top of the points with Machosik as well. And of course, because it's Super Stock Truck, we had a bunch of drama, including that huge crash where Trey Boshaw and Ben Holcher got tangled up. Ben ended up sideways over the huge tabletop, rolled seven times, I think. You've talked to him a little bit since then. How is Ben Holcher doing?
He's pretty banged up. I mean, his face was purple, black and blue, and he took a heck of a hit to the bell, and he's doing all right. The truck's a little beat up. But then I also talked to Trey Boshaw back and forth. We messaged back and forth, and he just felt horrible for what went on. And I remember calling the race, and Trey messaged me. He's like, I just want to let you know what you called on that moment. He's like, I honestly, that happened. My front end broke, and it shoved me right into the rear quarter of Ben Holcher. So, you know, as I sit there, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I didn't think you intentionally did that. And sometimes it's a racing incident. I mean, they're both going for that spot, but Ben got the worst of it. And like I said during the show, I'm glad he was in a great truck where he was safe. I mean, he got beat up, but hey, he walked away.
Yeah, no doubt. Actually, Ben's wife, Amber, too, did reach out to us and say that basically all the medical scans were clear. He was sore, bad concussion, but that he'll be okay. And she said all the safety equipment did its job. So tip of the cap to him and his team, making sure that all the precautions are made. But yeah, like you talked about with that incident, it's easy to, especially for fans, and when you're watching it live, especially in person, it can look a certain way. And thankfully, excellent drone coverage, especially by our drone pilot, Jordan Gomez, too, captured it. We saw right away, like, oh no, there was no intent there whatsoever. Those guys in Super Stock, they'll raise each other hard and physical at times, but never to that extent. So
yeah, it's just a bummer deal, Shane, and things happen like that. One minute you're out front, the next minute you're picking up body panels. I mean, that's off-road racing, and sometimes you win, and a lot of times you don't. And it's just, that's the deal, what you have to work with. And I hope Ben's all right and Trey gets his head back on straight for himself and just they go back and run hard. You know, that class is one of the best classes ever. And you could talk about great drivers and like Joey Machosa coming back after what he did last year and getting a first and a third. And look at Brayden Beauchamp now. He's like, hey, man, I'm in this points hunt now. I'm with the group.
Right. And then you've got, you know, the usual suspects, the ever steady Nick Bing showing up near the front. Belanger showed some speed. He looks to be a threat to win again this year. So, yeah, that class, all these classes we're talking about are fun, but that class, that's the cream of the sportsman crop. That's, you know, I call it the American heavy metal truck race. That's what a lot of the fans, they circle that one on their schedule at the.
Yeah, a lot of pro drivers are up there too. I watch them all jogging back. Before you watch them at Anago, a lot of pro drivers walking through the crowd. And it's like, that's cool. Because as a race car driver myself growing up, it was so cool if you seen Evan Evans or Kurt LeDuc or Kyle LeDuc or John Greaves jog up to the top to go watch your race, you know. And that's what drivers feed off of, and little kids and guys like us, you know, we love that our sport is loved by everybody and everyone supports one another. And that's what's huge.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And another class that is now must see TV, if you will, is Pro Spec. You know, we knew it was going to be a much bigger field. I think we had nine or 10 trucks in Anigo. Man, that was excellent racing too. So you had the defending champ, Gray Ledbetter. She finished second both days. And then we knew it wouldn't be long. Chad Rayford picked up the win in round two. It looked like he was on his way in round one until there was a little bit of a confusing situation with a safety truck, and then he got popped for a stop-and-go penalty. But he made his way to the front. Last year's runner-up in points, Nick Visser, grabbed a win in round one, so he started off the year really well. And then somehow through all that chaos, one of the rookies, Tony Keepers, grabbed two third-place finishes. He's like survived both days and made his way on the podium twice. This year in Pro Spec, I think it's going to be everything we hoped it would be and more.
We started with four trucks, I think, last year, and right now we're running 10, 11, 12 trucks. I just love the layout. I love that it's a woman and a man's class, like Gray Ledbetter. She takes her gloves off every weekend. She has a great truck, great team behind her. I don't know if we ever made a bet with anyone, but I bet before the season, I'm like, Rayford's going to win some races. Like, I don't care what you say. Rayford's going to win. We've known him our whole life. The guy's a go-getter. He knows how to drive a quad. It advanced him into the off-road world. I mean, just the people he's around week in and week out is amazing. And then you look at Tony Keepers. Like you said, he's a buggy guy. He come from the buggy. So you don't tell me that what you know in the buggies don't transfer over. Like, he adapted very well. And Vanden Elsen not having the greatest start to his season. But Chris, he'll be back. I mean, he was fast last year. At any given time, we can see new top threes, and that's what I love to see. Like, granted, four trucks is fun, but 10, 11, 12 trucks, Shane, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about kind of the top cluster of the points there. You mentioned Chris Vanden Elsen. That's a guy that knows how to win at Crandon in the Pro Spec trucks. Tony Keepers, obviously, a former world champion in light buggy, won a whole bunch of races in light buggy and 1600 at Crandon. I think he'll do really well. I know he tested there preseason as well. Dylan Parsons, we didn't see a whole lot from him other than that he was tipped over on his side at one point, but certainly he's going to come back guns a-blazing for Crandon. It's going to be really great. I'm like super excited to see how Pro Spec plays out.
Yeah, this short track going into Crandon, that'll benefit, I believe, these little six-cylinder trucks. I mean, it's more of a driver's track. It's not long, long straightaways. And, I mean, guys like Keepers, they put in laps already before the season. I mean, Paul Hayward, he's new to the class. He's doing a phenomenal job. I mean, just to run in the top three of this class is very, very difficult. And I couldn't tell you right now. Maybe one or two, but I couldn't tell you right now who's going to be on that podium, honestly, because it's just that good of a class, and I'm glad what Champ Off-Road did and Ryan beat what he threw at the table. Hey, kudos to those guys. They're just keeping this sport alive. Frank D'Angelo getting along with everyone. Carl, I mean, you can't thank everyone enough just to keep it going, and this class is going to be one to watch.
Yeah, if this is essentially the second year of Pro Spec, man, when this class really picks up more momentum and there's even more trucks in there, like, look out, man. It's going to be as good as Pro 2, I think. another class that was really interesting. And, you know, it's early to be talking about points, but I'm a numbers guy, so I'm always thinking about it and kind of framing everything that happens around the hunt for that championship. Pro Buggy. So coming out of Antigo, the top six in points are separated by just 12 points, and none of those top six drivers are named Michael Meister. He had that wiring electrical, some kind of gremlin that prevented him from taking the green flag in round one. So he actually is seventh in points behind that huge cluster of six drivers at the top. Is Pro Buggy more evenly matched than we thought it would be, just like Pro Light?
I'd want to say I'd lean towards, yeah, it is, because there's just a lot of great cars, a lot of great drivers, a lot of history. I mean, you talk about Mark Steinhardt in the front, comes out round one, just flat out flying.
Steiny's the points leader, by the way, coming into round three.
Yeah, and that's awesome to see. He's been around since we've been in diapers, Shane. He's been winning races.
Yeah, dig this. Steiny is leading points, and J.D. Curran, who has been racing off and on since the mid-80s, is second in points. So, you know, we talked about Meister, Billy Booth, and then Jaden Lemke being one of the rookies. You know, these kids, essentially, they're all younger than us, but, you know, where are they? They're trying to chase down the veterans, we'll call them.
Yeah, that's what they are. They know where every rock's located. I don't care if they haven't been at Antigo and they're going backwards the opposite way. Those guys don't miss a beat. And you look at the talent level. Michael Meister, I mean, I remember him sending me a whole big paragraph in the middle of the night telling me, hey, you know, we stripped this thing right down to nothing, and we found it, though. We found it. So, like, just the fans and the people that watch on TV and watch us on the Flow Network, and I'm telling you, you don't understand the hours and the time and just the brain work that goes into these cars and the stress. And for them to bounce back the next day and fly and run hard and be up in the top three, hey, that says a lot for who's working on the cars.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And you know who else really puts in the work and has a lot of brain power behind what they do, Brent?
I don't know, man. A lot of guys, but I want to know who's up next.
Well, it would be AMSOIL, because their synthetic lubricants offer innovative answers to the greatest challenges vehicles and equipment could possibly present. Their extraordinary performance of their AMSOIL synthetic lubricants is across many markets: automotive, power sports, industrial, and of course right here in Champ Off-Road. And that's made their influence in the industry unmistakable. Their commitment to innovation has helped build legends in off-road racing. AMSOIL, run with us.
Well, our next guest on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL is Ben Heiding. Ben, how's it going, buddy?
Going pretty good.
So, man, coming off of Antigo, a lot of great action, a lot of excitement out of your team. I mean, what do you have in store for us for Crandon? But first, let's talk about Antigo. What was it like?
You know, we came into day one practice, and me and Bryce, we topped the charts. And so we knew by then it was going to be a really good weekend. We just had to put the work in.
So I was looking back at last year. You know, last year was your first year in Sportsman Side-by-Side. You left Antigo last year with, I think, 4 points. And now coming out of this weekend, you're leading points. You have 100 points. You know, what did you learn from having a tough year last year that, you know, motivated you through the off season and got you where you are now?
You know, in Antigo last year, we really had the speed. I think on the last lap, I was seventh, and I was trying to make a pass, and then tires got locked, and we went through the whoops, connected with a Yamaha, and then electrical cord came out, and it just kind of stopped running. And then day two, it was we started the backpack. There just weren't a lot of race laps to really have many moves and really do anything, and so we knew we had the speed all year, but just I could never put it together.
Yeah, Brent and I have talked about that. It seems like in especially in Sportsman Side-by-Side, maybe more than any other class, trying to fight that inversion, especially when you have a bad opening weekend, and trying to get back inside the inversion is like almost impossible sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's especially when you start the season off real bad. I know a lot of classes, there's people in other side-by-side divisions that they've got the speed, but if you have a bad weekend, it breaks you.
Yeah, it really does. And that's the big part in off-road racing. You can have one great day. We were talking about it earlier on the show, and the next day you can have not so much of a great day, and you mentally have to stay motivated to keep pushing forward. I think, and that's what you've done. And first off, I want to say I'm proud of you, because I've watched you start from where you've started. And dude, we called your winning race, and that was awesome for me to see, Shane to see. We love new winners. We love guys and girls that just never stop trying. And what you've done in a short period of time is amazing. And as a young driver, you must be excited to keep going forward.
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's been a lot of changes in from when I first started racing to now. You know, we used to have a bunch of cars under the tent, and you know, there was a lot of people racing with us. I think we were in around four classes, and now we're just down to two. We've got me, Bryce Carlson, and Raymond Denninger. He's in the 170. And, you know, it's all down to just the youth now. And so I feel like it's a lot more high spirits in the pits now.
Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, the youth classes. That's kind of where you started, at least in short course. You started in a short course card, if my research is correct. But did you race anything before that? And was short course racing something that you always wanted to get into?
I raced two races prior to that first champ season in the 170s. My dad and my brother, they started racing the year prior. And, you know, we had sponsored Troy and Andy Johnson before we even started racing at Bark River. I watched Troy win, and it really inspired me to want to race. And you know, I just told my dad I want a short course cart, and he got the short course cart and a 170. And you know, ever since then I've been in it.
Then in 2021 you raced 570s. You were on the podium a handful of times, and like I said, last year you broke into Sportsman side by side. Like I mentioned, the start of your season was really difficult. I think your best finish in the first four rounds was like a 24th. Was there ever a point where you're like, you know, self-doubt started to creep in a little bit, where you're like, do I belong here? Kind of those kind of thoughts.
I mean, you know, I try to always push past that. I try to, because you know, I had the speed in the 570. I had the speed in the 170 in the short course cart. I had not so much speed just because of car issues. But, you know, I always knew that I had the ability. It was just, we had a lot of bad luck, and there were just a lot of maybe a little over-aggressive in some areas. And, you know, I knew it was, a lot of it was just like driver error. I just knew if I could put some good races together, maybe I'd be able to do something. But yeah, it was pretty hard, but I just tried to not focus on it.
And then in the second half of last year, though, it seemed like you sort of found your footing a little bit. You finished eighth. That was your best finish last year. You were top 15 a handful of other times. Did that give you some make you feel like you had some momentum coming into the off season? And then what did your off season actually look like? You know, how did you work on yourself as a driver alongside, you know, building up your program to be a little bit better?
My spotter Matt at the time and my dad, we kind of sat down and were like, you know, we're not in the points race, we're not, you know, we're way in the back, so let's try to finish and learn this car. And you know, it was really just trying to learn. The off season came, and I knew I just had to work on my own self and my mental state. And so I actually began working out, going on runs, and we actually ended up buying a Pro Light, and we were gonna run that, but we decided against it and just to focus on the side by side for this year. Yeah.
So what's your plans, Ben? Now, like, now you're focused on the classes that you get to race in, and like, what are you planning on? What's your future? What do you want to do? I mean, is this what you want to be in? Is side by side? You said that, yeah, we got a Pro Light. You decided not to run it, but like, do you think it'll just be a matter of time when you can feel that confidence where you're mentally ready for a truck? Or do you just want to support dad's company and keep pushing forward in the side-by-sides?
Well, you know, we're planning on running KOH in the rookie class. and or the rookie program. So I'm kind of focusing on side by sides a lot more right now, and I've just been trying to put all that together. I mean, maybe a couple years down the road when I feel like I've done most of what you can in the side by side, I might step up to the pro light, and I'll probably still run a side by side, but maybe not as much.
I'm not rushing you. I'm not. Take your time.
Hey, so let's talk about Antigo a little bit. Like we said, you had a tremendous season. You're coming out of it leading points. You finished second in round one, which was your best finish up to that point in Sportsman side by side, and then round two, you were in front before halfway. You never looked back, and you got your first Sportsman side by side win. So what was that whole experience like? Not only getting to the front, but then leading most of the race and getting to stand on top of the podium.
You know, it just felt really amazing. Like I knew all of last year, we knew we had speed. We just really had to get it under control. And, you know, coming out of round one with that second place, me and Lucas, we were battling the whole race. So I knew I at least had the speed to fight with first. And, you know, day two, me and Bryce, we were basically bumper to bumper at the beginning. Eric, he pulled out in front of me, and then Bryce was in first, and Bryce made a little error. And so me and Eric, we both kind of took advantage of that, and the rest was history.
How, like, exciting was not only the race to be with your teammate, Bryce Carlson, but, like, to stand on the podium with your race-driven player's teammate? I mean, your dad was obviously excited. I got to come down and give you a high five and a hug, bud. I was proud. But, like, how big was that in the moment, and how special was it now that you get time to look back?
You know, it was just amazing. Like, I've shared the podium with people that we sponsored before, but I've never had someone who's under the tent with me, always in the race shop with me, just, like, never not by my side at the races, like, just on the podium with me. And it was really special to have it be a 1-2 on top of that.
So Bryce was pretty successful last year, too, in Sportsman side-by-side. He did have that win. He finished top five four times. How much motivation or coaching, you know, do you guys give each other? How much do you feed off one another?
Obviously, we'll talk about lines and breaking points and how we really handle the car. But, I mean, there's not a ton that we talk about with racing. We mostly just talk about what we do in our own riding. And me and him, we've been racing pit bikes for the last 6 months just to stay quick.
So Ben, coming into Crandon, I mean, are you excited about the new track changes? We're going to have not only going in front of the crowd, you're going to get to go through Argonne and then up turn number one. I mean, what's in it for you? What are you most excited about?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited to be sort of in the back section. You know, we're not going to be running the full back section, but me and Bryce, we were the first full-size cars to be out on that track. We went practicing the Monday before Antigo, and I feel like we both put down some really good lap times. We learned a lot about the track, and, you know, I just have a really good feeling coming into Crandon. If you look back at my past finishes there, especially last year, I haven't finished so well there, but this year, I'm really hoping to bring that momentum from Antigo into Crandon.
So you've already mentioned that before Antigo, before the opening rounds, you felt pretty confident because you knew you were fast. You were faster than how you had finished, you know, throughout last year. What were your goals coming into Antigo, and did you exceed them? And now coming into Crandon, what do you expect out of the next couple rounds?
Yeah, I mean, my dad, he basically told me we'd like to top 10. Top five would be great, and a podium would be amazing. And then day one, we came out with that second place, and then my spotter, Jake Kosmecki, he told me, can't be a one-hit wonder now. And so I just had to get that win.
So Ben, are you looking, like, the rest of the season, you guys want to be on that podium, I get it, but are you looking for an overall championship? Is that something in your head, or hey, if we can get podiums and wins, the championships will come to us? I mean, what's your strategy?
Yeah, I mean, like, in the sportsman class, it's all about consistency. If you can finish, I mean, I feel like if you can finish top five all year, you're in the talks for championship.
That's exactly what Jacob Blemke did last year. no wins, but won the championship.
Yeah, and you know, we like to have a lot of podiums, but if we can get fourth and fifth all year and then come out with a championship, maybe, I'd be fine with that.
Is that something that you think is within reach now that you've gotten off to this hot start?
Yeah, I think I could do it, but it's just all about putting these races together. You can start up front, but it doesn't mean you'll end there.
So Antigo, obviously a much different track than Crandon. We talked about Crandon being reworked a little bit, but it's still Crandon. It's still a super highway. It's, you know, you can compare it to like Talladega or Daytona. Do you approach Crandon differently than you would approach Antigo, knowing that Antigo is the tight technical type of track and Crandon's the exact opposite? Do you change your driving style? Is it more aggression, less aggression, more patience maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely got to be a little bit maybe more patient just because it's such a fast track and people make mistakes everywhere. But I kind of come in with the same mindset, the same driving style as always. It's just, you know, we know that the Polaris does really well on those tight technical tracks and Yamahas have a bit of a upper hand at the fast tracks like Crandon.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to watch you guys, you and Bryce. It's going to be just some kind of showdown to watch. It's cool that you're in the same class. I know I got to talk to your mom and dad. They're so excited and what you're doing for Race Driven, and they're excited to not only have you as their son, but you're supporting their great company and you're doing big things as a small town kid. And I think it's cool, dude. I'm proud of you, and Crandon's coming. I bet you're just excited to get there.
Yep, for sure. I can't wait.
Yeah, us either, man. But thanks a lot for coming on the show, and we look forward to big things out of you this weekend in rounds 3 and 4.
See you there.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the podcast. We will have one more episode out yet. It'll be the 6th episode of the season. We'll be out before rounds 3 and 4 at Crandon International Raceway. Our guest on that one's going to be Cole Mamer from Pro 4, so look for that one. But with that, Brent, send us out.
For Shane Stetsny, I'm Brent Smith. Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.